Welcome today here in person or online. If you're new with us, I'm Pastor Tim, and this is my spouse, Cheryl, and partner in ministry. And today we get to do this message together, don't we?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to start out with we grumble. We grumble. We don't get our way. We don't get what we want. Things aren't the way we expected them to be. And we find ourselves grumbling. Do you ever grumble? Do you ever find yourself whining because things aren't working out the way you imagined? So if you do, which we probably all do, at some point or another, you're not alone. It seems like it's kind of a normal response.
So a week ago today, we were supposed to be heading to the Boundary Waters after church. We had planned a six-day adventure on unknown waters, quiet paddles, fresh fish cooked over the fire, devotions at the end of the night together with our group, our discoveries, sharing them with each other, and enjoying the pristine beauty of God's creation that can only be found in places like the Boundary Waters canoe area. But due to fires burning in Canada, the outfitters were shut down, and our permit was canceled. We'd been planning this for months, so I decided we still needed to do some paddling. So I went on to the website, and I started researching rivers in Minnesota that were navigable by someone like me at my skill level. And the DNR has this great site. You can pick a river, and it'll tell you the conditions and where the culverts are and where the rapids are and if they're navigable or if you need to stay away. And I kept finding this word scrapable. And I was like, what is that? And all the rivers I was looking at were scrapable. So finally, I looked it up. Because, you see, I wasn't reading it scrapable. I was reading it scrappable. So scrapable means the water's so low that you'll scrape the bottom of your vessel. Duh. So I was a little discouraged, but then I remembered there was a river that we took our kids on when they were little in Glendalough State Park. And it was fun, and it was quiet, and so I went on and I found a campsite way back in the woods in a cart-in campsite. Now, if you know what that is, you have to haul all your stuff on a cart in there, which means no generators, no motorhomes, no cars, but it's quiet and it's remote. So we got there and we got all of our gear hauled in, and we quickly realized it was a cooker. And I mean, it was so hot that we decided we were going to go back to Battle Lake and have supper in a cool restaurant instead of cook out because it was way too hot. And that night, we had possibly one of the worst night's sleep camping ever, tossing and turning. And we each even had our own little tiny fan, you know, our little battery power fans we bring camping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't cutting it. And it seemed like just when I was going to fall off to sleep, he would roll over and bump me and wake me up. And it was an endless night. And I counted, yes, four times I got up and went to the bathroom that night. So it was awful. When the alarm went off at 5:30 in the morning, I was kind of relieved because it was time to get up and head out into our adventure. And I actually got him up at 5:30 in the morning. It was kind of amazing. We had a quiet, quick cup of coffee and packed our snacks and water. And we quietly went outside. And the first thing we discovered was a buck and his whole family having breakfast on the forest floor of our campground. It was beautiful. They didn't move. And we just quietly walked by, and they watched us as they munched away on whatever treasures were on the forest floor. We got our vessels, and we headed to the lake. The sun was just off the horizon, and the water was like glass. There was hardly a breath. Can you just see it? So we slid our kayaks into the water, and we scoped out the mouth of the river, which was on a far bank, and we headed for it. Now, I couldn't see it, but when we got close, I could hear it. I could hear the babbling water, and I was excited because there's nothing like river kayaking. So we got through, and it's kind of shallow at the mouth, and we got into it. And it seemed like the cattails were 12 feet high on both banks, and it was just a wall of cattails through this meandering river, and the water was absolutely crystal clear. You could see the bottom and all the fish scattering about as my kayak went through the water. And I realized I began to breathe slower, much slower than I'm breathing right now. And I was enjoying myself, and I was smiling, and I was giggling a little, because I would hear Tim behind me when we'd go through some shallow portions, scraping the bottom of his kayak, because see, he weighs more than I do, and I could get through. And he'd be back there going like this, trying to scooch his kayak through the shallow waters. And it was a perfect day. It wasn't what we planned. It wasn't what we expected or how we expected to enjoy our paddling. But it was exactly what we needed.
After all the grumbling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really was a good day. I think we grumble because we don't get our way. Kids, has your mom ever told you no? And when she did, you're like, okay, mom, thank you. Or are you more like, gosh, you never let me do anything. It's not fair. And then you run, Dad, mom said, to give you ask you, has that happened to you? We grumble, right?
Yeah.
And we grumble because we don't get what we want.
We grumble when we don't have the gifts and abilities or faith life that others around us have. We grumble because we desire something that we don't have. Or we grumble because we didn't receive the healing we asked for, and we've enlisted friends to pray for us, and we still nothing. We grumble.
Or we grumble when things don't turn out like we expected them to. You know, we all have those visions and ideas of what life is supposed to be like. And we kind of plan around that. And then when things don't work out like expected, we start to grumble and we start to complain because our expectations, they get smashed. We don't see how we can ever be satisfied with the way things are working out. And so we grumble. Jesus said,
stop grumbling.
Stop grumbling. But there's something even deeper to our grumbling than smashed expectations. And we're going to look at this another way. So what happens when your stomach is hungry? What's going on inside? What's happening in your stomach?
Grumbling,
growling, right? Or if you're like Cheryl, you get
hangry.
Hangry, which means hungry and angry. Yes, it's true. So we grumble because we're hungry, right? But Jesus says we're hungry for something more, something more. So do you struggle with grumbling? Jesus says, stop grumbling because you've got this all wrong. So we pick up this discussion with Jesus in John's Gospel in chapter 6. There's a crowd that has been following Jesus, and they know, certainly at this point, something is very different that's happening. They just really don't know how to interpret it. And this same crowd was really hungry the night before. There was thousands and thousands of people. And Jesus had compassion on them, on all of them. And with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, he fed them all as much as they wanted, with leftovers to boot. So we know this was a miraculous sign. Their hunger for the night was satisfied. But the next morning, they're trying to find him again. They don't know that he took a little walk on the water that night before. This part of the crowd, they don't get that. They just know that he's not there. So they're curious, and they're hungry again.
The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, and not because you understand the miraculous signs.
So in this, Jesus is attempting to move this conversation from the stomach to the heart. He's trying to get them to think a little differently. He says, you're all looking for the wrong thing. You're concerned about your stomachs. Jesus gets that. He did a miracle to feed them because they were physically hungry. You know, he says, I get that, but there's a far bigger hunger that you need to be concerned about. and it's not satisfied with a loaf of bread. So Jesus points out that the signs that they're seeing are being missed. He says, you don't get it. You're following me for the wrong reasons. And so when I read this passage, I think to myself, you know, this is written so that anyone who reads it will believe. John says that later on in the gospel. That's the purpose, so that we will believe, to recognize that Jesus came to save us. So if you're not yet a believer, then I hope that is your response to the gospel today, that you do hear what Jesus is saying and believe. But for those of us that are here today who are already followers, which is probably most of us, you know, we believe that God's word is active, it's alive. So does this message have direction for us today who are already believers? And I think the next verse that we're about to hear actually explains it.
Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval.
So Jesus invites us to be his followers for something bigger than a physically fulfilled desire. So I'm really not suggesting that we don't pray for our physical needs. We absolutely do. You know, Jesus did a miracle to supply physical needs. So I think what this passage is telling us is to prioritize the things that God prioritizes. So set our sights on things higher than food for the day or the month or the year. Prioritize the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness. Seek that first, and then everything else will begin to fall into place. And ultimately, you and I will be satisfied. So I believe that grumbling diminishes. You know, we all grumble. I believe grumbling diminishes when our spiritual hunger is satisfied. Because physical hunger, you know, it always comes back, right? I mean, I know, I've tried that. I eat, and then I get hungry again. Sometimes I'm hungry right after I eat. You know, it just doesn't quite satisfy. But spiritual hunger, once fulfilled in Jesus, is fulfilled forever. Jesus says,
spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you.
So that's what the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is really about. It's not that Jesus can provide us with our physical food for the day or our need for the day, but that he has the power to satisfy really our deepest spiritual hunger. He can because of who he is. The sign shows that he can multiply food because he is the Son of God. So are you hungry this morning? Whether you ate or not, you know, we actually are filled with this deeper spiritual hunger and thirst for a life that is beyond what this world can give. So we hunger and thirst for a life that God created us for, one that begins with this life and it goes on past the grave. It's a life that lasts forever. And, you know, this can be hard to understand. It really can. It can be hard to grasp. I think the crowd was listening, and they're just really struggling. But it's this longing that we feel deep in our soul, deep in our heart, this longing for relationship with God. And that hunger, that desire can only be filled in one place. We try to fill it in all kinds of ways, but there's only one thing that will satisfy, and it happens when we're focused on food that lasts. Jesus has their attention. The crowd wants this.
They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do?
And I think this complicates this highlights one of the most complicated dilemmas we face as a follower of Jesus. And here it is. It's so much easier to accept our way of working things out than it is to accept God's way of working things out.
Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent.
Let me repeat that, especially in light of what we had just heard, which we'll explain. It is amazing what this team has done with Hope Heals. And so this verse that Jesus says really, really kind of grabs us today. Jesus told them, this is the only work. Say only work.
Only work.
This is the only work God wants from you. Believe. Say believe.
Believe.
This is the only word God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. So here's why this is so complicated. We all see things around us that are wrong, and we want them right. So Katie and Anna and Sam and Izzy, you all did what we know is the right thing to do. Amazingly, you stepped in to help those in need. You showed love and compassion, and you were the light of Christ. You were the hands and feet to those who were participating in Hope Heals. You were doing really good work. And, you know, that is absolutely the right thing to do. But we might get the wrong idea from the right thing. We might begin to think that all you guys are surely on the right side of this equation when it comes to doing the things that get you to eternal life. But you see, that kind of thinking is what the crowd is doing. It isn't right. But it's the upside, or you know, it's the upside down kingdom dynamic that Jesus wants us to be crystal clear on. And here it is. Doing those works, as amazing, as good as they are, makes no difference in our deepest spiritual desire for eternal life if it's not coming from a heart that has done the primary work first. So what is that first work?
Jesus told them, "This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent."
So that hunger that we have for God, it's very real. And it's only filled by the work of believing in Jesus. It's about his work done for you. So Jesus reveals that trying to earn our way to heaven only ends up in grumbling because it never satisfies. The only way to eternal life is to believe in Jesus. And that's been the plan from the very beginning. It's pointed out through all of Scripture. Jesus has been saying it all along, like John chapter 3 and verse 14. Jesus said,
"Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him."
And so I think what this team has done has responded to what's happened in the heart, this change of heart, this new life. And responding out of works of compassion. That's the right response. But sometimes instead of believing, we just grumble. We don't get it. We don't see it. We don't want it, or at least not the way it comes. And I think it's ultimately because we miss how God is at work, and it leaves us still hungry, still unsatisfied, and inside grumbling. So Jesus is on this food theme, which makes sense. He just did a miracle with food, but the crowd's stuck on the shore lunch, the physical food, because it's what they can see, it's what they can smell, it's what they can taste. And Jesus knows that's what we focus on. We're always drawn to those things that appeal to our senses. So if you're online right now, you don't know this, but in the sanctuary, it smells like what? Smells like bread. There's a bread machine back there that's been baking all morning. And I can tell you absolutely, whoever's smelling that right now, at least I am, I'm hungry, right? I'm physically hungry smelling that bread. I just want to eat it. And so that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's one reason why at Bethlehem Church, we are so committed to feeding people, especially on Wednesday nights, because we know that that physical hunger is a powerful force. And if we don't satisfy that force first, then we might miss the opportunity to share, you know, the spiritual hunger and the spiritual food that's being offered. And that's the point. Physical hunger is not to take priority over the spiritual hunger that points us to true life.
I get that. So I accidentally discovered one of the best breads that I've ever had. It was right here on a Sunday morning at a Little Flock fundraiser, and I went to the table and I discovered this fresh, fragrant, tender rosemary olive bread. And it was made by our very own Little Flock teacher, Mrs. Murphy. And she gave me permission to mention her today. This bread is a little salty and very savory, and it's amazing. And when I crave bread, sometimes this is the very bread that I crave. So what is your most satisfying food or maybe recipe? Because you see, this recipe is treasured and she's already handing it down to her children, and I know this recipe will last. So what is your most satisfying food or favorite recipe that you will hand down? Turn and tell your neighbor. And for you online, comment your favorite food, satisfying food, or recipe.
So Cheryl, how would you feel if Jesus multiplied Katie's rosemary olive bread?
That would be very satisfying, and then you might get some too.
And yet, it seems like in this passage, Jesus is reminding us that he is better than bread. Jesus is better than bread. He's far more satisfying even than this rosemary olive bread. Far more satisfying than what the Jewish crowd is thinking in their minds. They're thinking about manna, bread from heaven. See, the Hebrew scriptures describe this food that sustained the Israelites in the wilderness as Moses was leading them. It was a miracle from God. Every morning, this manna, this bread, was actually available for the Israelites just to pick up. And it was a sign for them that God was with them, that God was providing for them. So they asked Jesus for a similar sign. You know, it kind of confounds me in this passage because they just saw the feeding of the 5,000. They actually participated in it, yet they're asking Jesus, hey, give us a sign. It's like, you didn't get that one? So it's a good reminder to us that signs only work when we're willing to accept what they're revealing. In John 6,
they answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat.
So manna was something that came every morning, but if after one day it spoiled, so they had to go out and regather it every day. They couldn't save it up. The point is it was temporary. And when they entered the promised land, it actually ceased to come anymore. The manna stopped. So Jesus shows them really what they want to see. They want to see a sign. So Jesus presents it.
Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
So God's connecting the dots for him here. He is saying that God is doing something far bigger than this manna in the wilderness. He's offering the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. So Cheryl, can we take a deep dive here now? We're going to go to seminary at Bethlehem. Are you
sure.
Ready? So hang in there for just a short moment. So this verse is a reminder of the beginning of John's gospel. And it's supposed to connect us with this description of Jesus as the cosmic creator of the universe. So he's not only bringing chaos into order, but he brings life. John writes, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So when we read this again in John 6, we're supposed to be thinking back to that first verse. When he says the true bread of God who comes down from heaven, he's the same one who gives life to mankind in John 1, and now in John 6, he gives life to the world. So the reader doesn't miss this, but the crowd does. So they're still struggling with this whole idea that Jesus is more than a miracle-working man. So they seem to have already forgotten somehow, and it's a lot for them to take in.
Sir, they said, give us that bread every day.
So they miss this whole spiritual food idea that lasts forever. They say, give us bread every day. They just want him to keep feeding him and keep giving him whatever they need physically for the day. You know, but I think we do that too. It's easier for us to get caught up in wanting Jesus to provide for us everything we physically need for the best life or for the blessed life, because we're living in a world where that's what it's all about, you know, getting all of our physical needs taken care of. We live in a culture where that's what it's all about. And we get the wrong idea that if Jesus keeps feeding our physical needs, then we're going to be happy. Life is going to be good. But it's not, and we're not happy. And here's why, and this is really important. Cheryl, is everybody listening?
They look like it.
Everybody awake?
Yep.
Okay. Are you awake?
Yep.
All right. Here's the point. Bread doesn't satisfy. Physical things can't satisfy that spiritual hunger. Physical things can't satisfy our spiritual hunger. For that we need belief. And Jesus says, come to me. I'm better than manna.
Jesus is better than bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
As good as Katie's rosemary olive bread is, it only satisfies for a day. But the bread of life satisfies forever. And Jesus offers himself as the true answer to our spiritual hunger. And when we are fully satisfied, then there's no more grumbling. When we're spiritually satisfied, that grumbling just fades away. So are you carrying a heavy burden today? Jesus calls out, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, spiritual rest. So are you guarding a worldly treasure that's causing you to grumble with dissatisfaction? Whatever it is, Jesus, he offers a better way, a different way. He says, get rid of your possessions and come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven, food that lasts. So do you feel hungry and thirsty for a deeper spiritual walk? You just feel like you can't find it? Then Jesus is calling. He says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from within his heart. So are you hungry for more? Are you looking for bread that really satisfies your hunger for the things of God? For that, there is only one source. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So if you're struggling with grumbling to your family and friends, if you really can't see how God could possibly be at work through something that's going on in your life, if you can't wrap your mind around how things are ever going to work out, then I want to encourage you today. Believe. 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 Believe Jesus is the bread of life, the one who really can satisfy that deepest hunger. So we have a choice today. We can search for life in things that spoil, or we can search for life in things that last. What are you working for? Jesus said,
very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So we took our bikes along, and what we discovered after we loaded up our kayaks from that amazing trip is a bike path that goes all the way around the lakes. So we ended the day with a beautiful ride. A little added blessing that was more than what we expected, and the day turned out way better than we had planned. For those of us who already believe in him and have made that leap of faith and accepted, sometimes we wander and we find ourselves trying to fill our hunger, just as Tim has shared, with things of this world or other things that just are not satisfying. And so it's important for us to renew our faith day after day and time after time. It's not like we regain our salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. It's our heart commitment to following Jesus and spending time with him. So if you're willing, would you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for your patience with us when we wander. when we try to fill the void with empty things, and when we neglect our relationship with you, or even when we try to have an earthly relationship, provide what only you can provide for us. We do believe that you are the Son of God and that you are the Lord of our lives. And we know that only you can satisfy the deepest longings of our heart and our soul. We pray that you'd come and fill us afresh by your Holy Spirit today, that we would be overflowing with your presence. And that we would joyfully, without grumbling, share your love with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And you may be one who has been following the crowd over all this time, and yet you finally realize that today is just you and Jesus, that you realize you have never actually tasted the bread of life, that you have never sensed that fulfilling of that spiritual hunger. And so if that's you today, or if you're joining us online and you know you're ready to receive the bread of life, then I want to encourage you to just invite Jesus in. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears these words of mine and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. The invitation is to receive the bread of life and cross over with a simple prayer like this. Jesus, you are my bread of life. I trust you. I believe you died for me. Come into my life. Satisfy my soul. Fill me with your spiritual grace. Lord, let me know you and fill me with your spirit that I might live life eternally. In Jesus' name. Amen.